Okay, if you're visiting today, we have been in a sermon series called The Three Trees. Only we haven't gotten to the trees yet. We had, what are the three trees? There are a lot of assumptions in church. There are some folks that don't know what the expectations are. There are some people who have not been raised in church who don't know the expectations. There are some folks who have been raised in church and have the wrong expectations. So what we're going to do over the next three sermons, although next week we'll be interrupted, we're going to look at the three trees of Pine Drive. What are the expectations that this church is going to have on you as a church member? These are the expectations so that you know if you're being successful or not. If you can't measure it, right? How can you be successful if you can't measure it? These are the expectations. These three things, I'm going to run into this. These three things are also our process for discipleship. If you want to know, am I being a good disciple? You can measure it against these three things. If you bring someone to church and say, I want to disciple this person, these three things are going to be our process for helping us know if we are successfully making disciples out of them. What's up, darling? How's it going? Thought you'd already gone to college. All right, so we're going to start on the first tree this morning. Now, before we could get to the trees, we had to do a little precursor. We had to look at what is a church member. Now, we had to talk about how being a member of a church is not being a participant in a club. It's a part of a body. And we had to explain that. I'm always amazed, the more I get to know people, at how church folks even, at how little we teach the basics anymore. What is a church member? And that's just the way it is. We just have to make sure we're always teaching the simple things. What is a church member? You are not a part of the club. You are a body part in a body. And that's an important thing. You could stop going to Lions Club and Lions Club would be fine. If my hand leaves my body, I've got a problem. You're a part of a body. Last week, we talked about the roots. What needs to be going on behind the scenes or below the surface before you can ever outwardly express what God wants you to be? There are some things that need to be going on behind the scenes. And it was really basic, right? It was like eat right and exercise. You need to have a love relationship with the Word of God. We did, thanks to Heather's runs our Facebook page, and I'm really appreciative for that. She posted a couple of 30-day New Testament reading challenges. If you need help getting into the Word of God, just ask. We'll give you a couple of different things to try. But you need to have a love relationship with the Word of God. You need to have a passionate prayer and meditation life. And we talked about that last week. I won't re-preach it. But meditation is thinking on what you read in the Scripture. Having a conversation with God. And you need to be giving. You need to be giving. People, again, tend to not like that sermon very much, but you're not giving to the church. You're giving to yourself so that we as a body can do ministry. So anybody that is not giving is holding back what we can do as a body. Those three things need to be happening behind the scenes. All right, let's get to that first tree, shall we? It's going to blow your mind. You ready for this? It's so cutting edge, it's going to just blow your mind, Will. You ready for this? What is the first tree? What is the first expectation of a church member? What is the first step in the process of discipleship? You better write this down. It's confusing. Come to church. Now, the what is not, the what is not where we're going to have an issue. You got to wait for the why. The why is where some of you guys are going to push back a little bit, and maybe I'll have some interesting discussions in my office this week, okay? I want to push you on the why. The what is not difficult. Go to church. But for some of you, my sermon's on my phone. For some of you, when I said come to church, there are usually two groups of people that hear two different things. There's one group of people, when I say, go to church, come to church, go to church, let's say come to church, since we're here. There's one group of people that heard me say, go to church a couple times a month. I mean, that's okay if you are. That's fine. Honestly, that's where people are trending. Tom Rainier, he's an author, a pollster. In his research, he found that where 30, 40 years ago, someone who claimed to be a faithful church member would say that they went to church, you know, 4 to 6 times a month. So that's every Sunday plus some. Now, someone who claims to be a faithful church member claims to go like twice a month. I'm not here to say that's right or wrong, necessarily. I'm just saying things have changed. If you're not aware, the world has changed a little bit. There was a time when a coach would be tarred and feathered for having a game or a practice on Sunday. It's not the case anymore. There was a time when, you know, I remember I grew up in the country, you know, you don't work on Sunday. You don't do anything on Sunday. You know, you don't even go to a restaurant on Sunday because you're, you know, convincing waiters and waitresses that, you know, whether that's right or wrong, the world has changed. Life is faster. Life is busier. And now, what should we as a church be expecting from people? Can we expect a couple of times a month? Well, some people heard that. There's another group that heard me say, when I say come to church, you heard me say, come to church every single time the door is open for every single thing that happens. Those are two extremes. One is we don't, you know, we come when we kind of feel like it. The other is God loves me because I've been on the church campus at least 8 times this week. Now, when I was growing up, you had to come to Sunday school. Then we had Sunday morning church. Then we actually had like Sunday night. Remember Baptist Training Union, BTC, and, you know, the Baptist training class, Sunday school at night. Then you had night church. Then, you know, you probably were staying for a choir practice of some kind. You're probably there before church for a youth choir and then after church for a big people choir. Wednesday, you had church. Called it prayer meeting, but it was a sermon. It was a church. Usually there was a cell group or a youth meeting or something like that that happened on a Thursday. There was a Friday night fifth quarter after the football game. There was some kind of service project on Saturday. And if you missed any one of those things, somebody was going to be calling you on the phone because are you mad at Jesus? Like, what happened, right? Like, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? This idea that we have to be here every single time the doors are open. Which I've heard that phrase over and over and over in my life. Be there every time the doors are open. So what exactly is God's desire for coming to church? You know, there's not actually any verse in the entire Bible that says go to church. You can go look. It's not in there. It's not in there. Now, we do have an example in the New Testament. We have an example of people meeting on the first day of the week. I'm going to fly through some of these verses. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it references how they met on the first day of the week. The disciples meet on the first day of the week. why did they do that? I was taught, you know, and you'll hear people teach sometimes that now Sunday is our new Sabbath. That's also not right. Can I just say that? That's wrong. Sunday's not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday still. And if you want to keep the Old Testament law, you should be taking a Saturday. The Sunday was never instituted as the Sabbath. In fact, the early church, like the church that you see in the early part of the book of Acts, everybody in the church was Jewish. So they took Sabbath, Saturday, and then they started meeting on the first day of the week. They actually took like a day and a half. So if you really want to keep the law, you should take a whole weekend. Anybody okay with that? I think I'd be okay with that. So it's not the Sabbath. We started to meet on the first day of the week, and we really have no explanation in the New Testament about what a church gathering looked like. I'll tell you what it didn't look like. This. There's nothing wrong with this. It just didn't look like this. Church buildings didn't come around for a few hundred years. Stained glass? Yeah, we didn't have that. It was meeting in people's living rooms. It was meeting in people's homes. They would occasionally meet in synagogues because, again, most of them in the early church were Jewish. They would meet in synagogues. In fact, when I was in Turkey last September, we got to stand in a church from like the third and fourth centuries, and you could see the closets in the front. Actually, it'd be like over here where they would store the Torah because it was a synagogue. So synagogues started to kind of function as churches. But the idea of looking like this, where you had a 45-minute lecture, it didn't look like that. So what exactly does the Bible say about going to church? Well, the nearest I can tell is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I learned it again. Let's see. Verse 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I learned it in the King James. It says, forsake not. Y'all know that verse? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. So, in the book of Hebrews, you had some people who were forsaking the assembly. Like, they had just given up on gathering together. And the writer of Hebrews says, hey, don't forsake gathering together. What does that mean? Does that mean that if you miss a Wednesday night prayer meeting, that you're forsaking the assembly? Anybody ever raised in a household or a church culture where that was kind of implied? Like if you missed one thing, you're like forsaking God? I kind of was. I mean, I don't think it was on purpose. It was just the church culture. I grew up in a little bitty town where the church really was. Like, town had 500 people and the church had 250 in it. Like, life happened at that church. And if you missed, everybody knew it. But are you really forsaking the assembly if you just come on Sunday morning? Are you forsaking the assembly if, I don't know, let's say it's your birthday and you go to Galveston. Are you forsaking the assembly? No. No. Was I forsaking God when I was on vacation a few weeks ago? Was I forsaking the assembly of God? And churches and church folks, and again, I have been guilty of this in the past. We have used this verse to beat people over the head because we want to see people in the seats. When really you can still come here and be in the room and still be forsaking the assembly. Anybody that likes to just sneak in and not speak to anybody and then leave, that's forsaking the assembly just as much. So it's really not a matter of how often you come. I'm thinking about all the things I heard growing up as a good church kid. You know, heaven forbid you have to provide for your family and you have to work a shift on Sunday. You don't work on the Sabbath. Oh, it's not the Sabbath. That's a different thing. You don't work on, okay. Or, you know, let's say you had to put in a really, really hard week and you put in like 80 hours that week. And God actually needs you to rest and you stay home and sleep that day. Are you forsaking God and His assembly? No. What are we supposed to take from the Scripture? It is so often that, again, I am one, you know, I are one, right, that we Baptists will take an idea from the New Testament and turn it into a new law. Jesus didn't come to institute a new law. He did not say you have to come to church every time the doors are open. He also didn't say you have the freedom to only come whenever you feel like it. Don't forsake the assembly. He wants us to prioritize coming together. So what we're going to ask of every church member is that you prioritize coming together. Just prioritize it. And if life happens, then you have to go do something. You got to go take care of somebody. You go on vacation. I mean, God took a vacation on the seventh day. He wants us to rest. Go rest. He is aware of your life. He is not surprised. And He also knows your heart. He knows if you really need that rest that day. He knows you snuck out to go to the Texans game. I'll be honest, though. As a dad, I wonder sometimes if God wouldn't prefer that I take my son to one Texans game. You know what day they happen? Sundays. You know? Who's to say, right? I'm talking about your heart. And for some of you church folks, and again, I was one. I'm a recovering church folk. Because I remember just the culture I was raised in, where every time the doors were open, you had to be there. And if you weren't, you didn't please God. God never said that. Jesus never said that. And He loves you. He doesn't want you here for obedience sake. He wants you here to be a part of the body. He wants you here to be loved. He wants you here to be able to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. That's what He wants for you. So there is no set amount on how often you have to be here. And if you miss one day, and you know, it's funny that being the preacher, you know, people get nervous, like, oh, I'm sorry, I had to miss last Sunday. Okay. Is God mad at you? Because I'm not, you know, because I'm good. It's about your heart. So what we're asking, what I'm asking, is to make sure you are prioritizing the gathering. Prioritize the gathering. So, what do we come here for? I ended a sentence with a preposition that's probably bothering my wife. For what reason do we come here? Is that better? Well, here's the why. Here's a little pushback that I may get. And I want you guys not to just immediately disagree with me. I want you to put it in your crock pot and let it stew for a little while, okay? Do y'all remember the roots from last week? What was the first root? Read your Bible, right? Have a love relationship with the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. What if I told you that there is nowhere in the New Testament that I can find where it declares that our Sunday gathering is for the purpose of learning? We don't come here necessarily to have a class. This is not a class. Now, what am I saying, brother? That's going to bug some people. What am I saying? I hope that somebody learns every Sunday. I hope that I get to teach you something. I know that these sermons are not the deepest, but we're trying to get on the same page. I love to teach. I taught for 6 years at Bay Area Christian School. I taught for 2 or 3 years at Full Armor Christian Academy. Taught for 6 years teaching Greek and Spanish at a Mexican seminary. I wrote curriculum for a few years. I love to teach. But when we come here on Sunday morning, this is not a master's class. This is not when you come in and should expect to be fed. I had a guy one time, I've heard it a few times in my ministry, but I had a guy one time, he gave me such a hard time, church back in East Texas, he said, Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm being fed. I said, do you have a Bible? Do you own one? Like, I'll get you one. We got some in the office. Do you have a Bible? You take this book home every single day of the week and ignore it and then come to church and say, I don't feel like I'm being fed. Try that with food. See what would happen, right? Again, I would love to teach you something every single week. And I hope we do some really in-depth lessons. I hope we have some really awesome sermon series. Got a whole lot planned for the next couple of years, actually. I've gotten used to teaching on a daily schedule at the school. So waiting a week between lessons. I've written like 10 different sermon series already. You know, I'm way ahead of myself now because I'm ready to go fast, right? But I hope we do a lot of teaching and a lot of learning. But I'd rather you think about church kind of like football. Think back to junior high football. Anybody ever play junior high football? Any of you guys? Junior high football. The coach knows every position. He has to coach every single position on every single play because he's dealing with seventh grade knuckleheads that can't remember to put on deodorant, right? He's struggling. He's involved in every single, what are you doing, Kyle? He's involved in every single play, teaching every single person on every single play of the game. Now let's compare that to like the NFL. Is the coach of the Texans teaching anybody how to play football? Is he teaching the running backs how to be running backs and the wide receivers how to be wide receivers? No. They're supposed to know the playbook when they walk in the door. They're supposed to be ready and know their position when they get there at a professional level. And so there's a difference in a junior high football coach and a professional football coach. One's job is to teach football. The other is to get a bunch of people who have been working on their own and just get them going in the same direction. You see where I'm going with this? Sunday mornings, I hope you learn something, but my primary goal is not to teach a master's class. My primary goal on Sunday morning is for us to think the same thing at the same time and be moving in the same direction. Our goal is unity. Our goal on Sunday mornings is unity. And for some of you, that's a little bit different than what you've been taught. It's different than what I was taught. I'll be honest. I was taught by preachers who loved preaching. And it's all about the preaching. And, you know, the days of like the Charles Stanleys who come in and you have to like take crazy notes to keep up. And there's nothing wrong with that. I loved hearing his teaching and I'll listen to it again this week. But when you come here, you need to be prayed up. Your Bible needs to be read up and you need to be ready to get on the same page with the rest of the body. If you show up for the mama bird to feed the baby bird, well, that's not going to be a healthy church, is it? That's not going to be a healthy team. We're going to function about like a junior high football team. I think I'd rather function like a professional team. So, Presley, read your Bible, pray, be ready when you walk in the door, and then we'll all get on the same page. But that's a little bit different, isn't it? I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands to ask how many of you have ever heard church described this way, but I won't. Again, the purpose of Sunday morning of the gathering is unity. The purpose of our Sunday morning gathering is to remind you that you're not alone. The purpose of our Sunday morning gathering is for the whole body to come together. You have been sent off into battle, into the spiritual warfare in the world. And on Sunday morning, you get to come back and this is a safe place. This is a place where somebody hugs you and says, I love you. I've not been in your shoes this week. I don't know the heartache that you're carrying, but I know that Jesus wins. And I know that I'm praying for you. And I know that we're on the same page. We're pulling in the same direction. If there is ever a moment throughout the week where you feel alone, then we're doing church wrong on Sunday. If we're ever a moment throughout the week where you feel alone, then Sundays, that means we're failing at something. Sunday is our reminder that we are not alone. We wrestle not against flesh and bone, but against principalities and powers. We are fighting a fight. Some of you guys are carrying the weight of loved ones who are destined for hell right now. Carrying the weight of not knowing how to share the gospel. Some of you are carrying the weight of health issues, of addiction issues, of so many struggles. On Sunday, you don't sneak in and sneak out. On Sundays, you look people in the eye. You let people love you. You love people back. You bear one another's burdens. That's our primary goal. No, I hope you learned something. But the primary goal, you will never see it in the New Testament where it says your goal for getting together was to learn. Now, it does say that in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they dedicated themselves to, at the end of chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. So, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. It seems like the way we do church and have done church the last 100 years, we focus more on the apostles' teaching. We minimize fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. I think we need to focus on the main thing. I think it's primarily about unity. I went and looked at some examples from the first couple of 100 years in church history. You know, before the Council of Nicaea got all mixed up and you know, began the Catholic Church. That's another sermon for another day. But the first couple of 100 years, I tried to find some snippet of a writing to describe a church service. And all it says is that they got together, they worshiped, they prayed, and usually they would read Scripture. They did not expect somebody to stand up and talk for 40 minutes. They read Scripture. Imagine if we just came in here and read Scripture on Sunday morning. Some of you are like, that sounds good. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. So, we could do that. Just stand up here and read Scripture. You'd have to maybe stand up to stay awake. It's about unity. Learning is secondary. You should be learning from the Holy Spirit at home. I'm going to keep saying that, and it's going to continue to bug some of y'all, but that's okay. I have no designs on being a mama bird feeding baby birds. I want you in the Word of God, letting the Holy Spirit teach you. Another reason that we come together is worship. It's worship. Worship is about us as a group saying the same thing at the same time to God. Being in agreement about truths of God. That's the purpose of the music. The purpose of the music is to get us all to say the same thing at the same time. It's not to be entertained. Let me say that again. It's not to be entertained. It's not to receive the preference that we desire. You know what's really frustrating? What's really frustrating is that if we brought in, like, I don't know, Hillsong or, you know, somebody like that, like a professional praise and worship band, if we brought in like the rock concert with the smoke and the lights, and, you know, if we brought that in, our church would grow. If we did that for a year, our church would grow with young people. You know what else is frustrating? That if we brought in the Gaithers for a year, our church would grow with other than young people. I love the Gaithers, y'all. But you see what I'm saying? It is shallow and immature for a 16-year-old to pick their church based on what style of music is being played. It is just as shallow and immature for a 60-year-old to do that. I can tell you one thing without hesitation and without apology. God does not care what kind of music you are playing as long as it is God-honoring. He doesn't care. He does not care. I'm so over this discussion, this fight. I don't care. Yep. God doesn't care if you sing praise and worship songs. He doesn't care if you sing hymns. He doesn't care what language you sing in. If you know, as long as you're singing in your heart language, you know, sometimes I learn some songs in Spanish, Javier. Sometimes I want to sing them in Spanish, right? It feels better to sing from your heart, right? So he doesn't care. All he cares is that we are singing truth together. Together. I keep my eyes down because I know this gets a little touchy for some people, but the truth is I don't care. It's time to get past it. This is something that has divided churches. And I get real passionate about this. I was raised in a church that was very traditional, country traditional, you know, not your doxologies, but more your victory in Jesus, you know. There's a different kind of traditional. when I was 11, I started singing in a Southern Gospel quartet. We would travel around, and you know, I was the high tenor until my voice cracked and broke, you know. We would travel around singing Southern Gospel, and then I learned to play guitar in high school, and I almost split my church because I thought we needed to have praise and worship, you know, rock style in church. About 10 years later, I was leading at a camp. There's a few hundred kids there, and we're leading at a camp. And I look out across the crowd, and we were singing some praise and worship songs, you know, the good ones, the better one, better than those old hymns. And I look out across, and I see that those young people are singing just as hollow as the older folks do when they sing Amazing Grace, not attributing really any meaning to any of the words. We've sung it 100 times. We don't really think about it. Turns out it doesn't really matter. It's all a matter of the heart. I'm at a place now in life where I like all of it because I know God likes all of it as long as our heart is right. He did not come here. Worship is not about being entertained. It is not about receiving our preferences. Your job when you come on Sunday morning is to sing the song that the leader picks. Boom, that's it. Because it's not really about the song, is it? It's not really about the style. It's not really about how it makes you feel. Now, I went through that phase where I thought I needed to feel something, you know. It turns out I don't need to feel anything. Sometimes I need to just say the words, "Be thou my vision." Whether I feel it or not. Right? Although, it doesn't hurt if you feel some stuff sometimes. We Baptists could use a little bit of charisma, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to hurt you to feel some stuff. I was kind of led to believe by accident that emotions were wrong in worship. No, emotions are wrong if they control worship. But God gave you emotions. He wants you to feel them. He wants you to feel excited. He wants you to feel broken. He wants you to feel contrite. He wants you to feel elated. He wants you to feel those things. And when you feel those things, sometimes it should make you do more than this. Now, again, I'm a good Baptist. My hands go about here. And then a hook catches, and I don't know that I can go any higher than that. I felt weird during the service. I went like this, and a full extension. That's a... Whew. Hope my mamaw's not watching on the screen. When we come together, it is about unity. Amen. It is about us saying the same thing at the same time. And if, for some reason, you have allowed the devil, Satan himself, to convince you that you need some preference in music in order to be close to God, you need to repent of that and cast it out of your life. Cast it out. We don't need it. Because it is frustrating to know that there are people who need Jesus. They need salvation. They would die this moment and they would go to hell. But they're picking and choosing their churches on whether or not that's traditional or whether or not it's contemporary. There are just as many people listening to hymns this morning that are going to hell as there are people listening to Smoking Lights. It's not about the music. It's about the gospel. It's about saying the same thing at the same time. So, what is the challenge this morning? There's not much of a challenge. It's just to understand the first expectation. Can you prioritize the gathering? Whatever that means. Some of you guys have different schedules. Some of you guys have a work schedule that sometimes you can't be here. Let me tell you, from the pulpit, it doesn't mean you're mad at God, and we're not going to judge you for that. Go take care of your family. Work that shift. Provide for your family. Do you need to go to the beach? That's between you and God. But there are some days when you have had such a bad week and you are so stressed that maybe sometimes you do need to go and rest. Partly because you didn't take a Sabbath on Saturday. That's another sermon altogether. Prioritize the gathering. Prioritize worship. Understand our purpose for being here, which is unity. Don't leave this place and say, "I don't feel fed." If you want to be fed, take a bite, brother, anytime you want. If you want to be fed, don't leave here and don't judge your church experience on whether or not you felt fed from the Word of God. I hope you get fed. Judge success on a Sunday morning by how unified you felt with the body. And if for some reason you come here and you do everything that you can to be unified with the group and you feel something is off, well, that should tell you, so that's the Spirit of God. That should tell you, hey, either something's off in me or something's off in somebody else, and I need to be concerned about that. We need to love one another. Love one another. So, here is my challenge. I'm going to ask Melanie to come on up. She's going to lead us in our invitation. Here's what I want you to think about this morning. This is not the deepest spiritual lesson in the world. It's the lesson has come to church. And I know that. We'll have lessons that are deeper and more spiritual. My question to you is, have you been prioritizing the gathering? Or do you sneak in, sneak out? Have you found a body, joined that body, become passionate about loving that body, finding your part in that body? You need to prioritize the church of God. When you guys go off to college in a couple of weeks, you need to find a church. You need to join that church. You need to prioritize the gathering. We need to prioritize what God told us to prioritize. And we need to do that for the purpose of unity. If there's something affecting some relationship that you have with someone else in here today, if there's something affecting your unity, why don't you deal with that? Maybe you've struggled with this idea of music and worship. I know that's a hot topic. Maybe you know that you've given up ground at the altar of your heart and you've allowed the devil to convince you that music is more important than it is. Maybe you need to give that up and cast that idol aside and make it all about unity. Make it all about following the one true God. So let's all stand together as we sing this song. If you need to deal with God, let's deal with God this morning.